I have mine. Perfect. Okay, so we're going to go over some, after we do introductions and reintroductions, we're going to do announcements and reminders, touch base on current action items and then work items. And the three sort of chunks that we're focusing on today is, one is an update on the educational task force that Kim and others have been working on. And then we're going to talk about the user story task force to support the stories component that we now have on the community repo. And then also status of the focal use cases, which we're trying to gather at the beginning of that process. And we've got an example, and I'll talk about the process a little bit. And then finally, we want to wrap up with just a few minutes on what's the best way to use this hour, which of course usually boils down to about 30 minutes of sort of productive focused conversation. And we're not quite a working group, so we have a little bit different structure. So the chairs just wanted to get some feedback on what's the most effective way to use our time on the call together. So that's our agenda today. Anyone have any additions to put in the mix? Okay. Hearing none. That was not what I meant to do. Okay. Do we have anyone new on the call who's not been with us before? Okay. Anyone like to reintroduce themselves? I'm going to go through the list and see if we can pull a name out of the hat. But if you've been a member for a while, feel free to speak up and we'll give you a chance to reintroduce yourself to the community. Casey K?
Oh, hey. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, my name is Kayode Ezike, and I am currently a master's student at MIT, working with Tim's group, the Decentralized Information Group. And my work is centered around verified credentials. And yeah, I started attending the meeting, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's been relatively quiet for the most part.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to reintroduce or introduce? All right. And we'll move on to the next section. So announcements and reminders. So I know Chris was having some challenges connecting. Chris, made back in? Chris Brown?
I'm back in.
Okay. So the first item here was the Wyoming blockchain laws. Do you want to space on that real quick?
Yeah, so there have been a number of U.S. states that have been changing or adding to their laws to make them more blockchain friendly. And I think the first one I remember was Vermont. But the most interesting one so far is one from Wyoming that defines something called a network address for someone, which is a alphanumeric that can return a public, return a public key, which is basically a great definition of EIDs. And they also have something called a network signature, which sounds like EID auth. So they're having a big powwow at the end of this week on the topic of this and some of the other blockchain laws on Thursday and Friday. And I was asked to share with them some information about DIDs. So I was hoping I could get a couple of people who maybe have sort of generic DID slides, in particular ones that, kind of emphasize the community as a whole. If you could send me a copy of your presentation so I can quickly put something together to share at the Wyoming meeting, I'd really appreciate it. And, of course, if you've got any particular questions you would like to ask them, I did put a call out for ideas and stuff to present to them. So, for instance, one of the concepts I want to talk with them about is proofs. There were some questions in the email thread about beneficial stewardship type things, and there was another one on I've forgotten now. But anyhow, I'm going to collect those together and try to present them. That's it.
Hey, Christopher, I'm dumping a link to the primer on dibs and VCs that we did at IIW. That's a generic slide deck, I think, around the community.
Is it PDF or is it
Google. It's a Google slideshow, so you can export to any of those formats.
Great, thanks.
I just did a quick look at it. Chris, I'll also send you the deck from Rebuilding Web of Trust. That has that great slide that you had put together, Manu. I thought it might be the deck that you just sent that has the has DIF and IAW and RWOT. And anyway, there was that one. So I'll send that to you, Chris.
Thanks.
Okay, Kim, I think you're on the queue.
Yeah, I wanted to mention some updates that I've done to the minutes generation script. So I've been working on it over the last couple of weeks to, try out the scripts and the instructions that Manu provided previously. And so I updated it so that, in theory, a first-timer can just go through, follow the instructions, set up the accounts. For example, you need API access to do some things like post to Twitter. These are things that, the script is actually taking care of for you, which I actually didn't realize before I started all of this. So you should be able to execute the publishing minutes from start to end. There are all the steps are outlined. There are two manual parts right now. We could ultimately automate them. There are things like clipping the video, the audio, the trailing stuff at the beginning and end, and removing, basically cleaning up the minutes. But I think I'm going to do the last run today. And then we'll actually try to get people to start alternating in this process, basically to vet my instructions too. But I think it's maybe around 15 to 20 minutes start to end now. So, it's not a super high commitment. I think there's a little bit of extra work the first time set up in terms of setting up your accounts. But we're going to start encouraging people to try that out for themselves. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, Kim. Manu?
I just wanted to thank Kim profusely for making all of these changes. You have made me so happy. This is all the changes Kim's been making has enabled it to be automated by a bunch of other people. Not automated, but at least enable other people to publish the minutes and help us operate more like a community. So thank you. Thank you for all of that, Kim.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Okay, and I think the queue's cleared. So we also have under announcements and reminders. So my data is at the tail end of August. If anyone has any updates, feel free to get on the queue about that. We are in the queue for the week of July 16th doing a hackathon in the form of outreach, i.e. to get people who have not worked with this before to come and play with the different platforms that offer capabilities. There's also been some interest from Daniel Butler to potentially do some sort of DID hackathon. And I think that conversation may not be that week. That may be too soon to make that happen. So the chairs are going to follow up on that. This is just a heads up that we're still thinking of July 16th, but we'll jiggle it around if we can do be an in-person thing and part with Microsoft. And I see Mark's on the queue.
And just quickly about my data, the original idea was to have a panel with multiple presentations by different DAD implementers or representatives from different DAD methods. That's not happening because there was just so much other content, and the organizers didn't feel it was worth having an entire session just about DADs. However, there will be several sessions about decentralization and interoperability and self-sovereign identity, and there will be at least one talk about DADs and probably several talks that somehow related to DADs. And there will also be an unconference element facilitated by Kalia during my data. So there will be lots of DAD related content.
Okay, very cool. Thank you, Marcus. Okay, so next up is current action items. And we have the URL in the agenda. Does anyone have any progress to report? If so, put yourself on the queue.
Yeah, Joe Lionel here.
Hey, Lionel.
Lionel,
we'll go to Moses next.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. It's Moses. Two things. I just want to mention that it was really good to get together with everybody at Consensus. We had a great time getting drinks in the incredibly crowded hotel. And the second thing is I'll post this next week. We have the first virtual conference. It's like a day of webinars about decentralized ID being hosted by GSMI Web and Bitcoin Magazine. So, you know, the guy from Bitcoin said our average podcast gets 20,000 downloads, so we can mainstream a lot of ideas. And I've sent out a call for speaking to many of you, and I'll contact all of you this week. The website goes live at Business of Blockchain. This is focused more towards everyone in the enterprise space. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest around Hyperledger and Project Indy on this. All right. And that's it for now.
Cool. Thanks, Moses. Lionel, you're up.
I have two action items, and I want to report status and ask for a little help. One, the more recent one first, was to make a list of businesses that were being involved with the IDs or deploying active code. I had a partner on that, but I didn't write it down. So if he's on the call or if anyone remembers, please send me his name. I looked at the action list, by the way. I don't see this action on there. But I did make progress, and I think I'm going to throw up either a Google sheet, if that's acceptable, or just open a new page in the Git. So
this is Adrian. I'm your partner.
Adrian Gropper?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't ask for a better partner. Okay, Adrian, so I'll call you, and I had some good results being at Consensus. As Moses said, there were many people there, and again, asking help from the community. There was one person who was at Rebooting Web of Trust in October. I think his name is Jonathan. He used to be in medicine, and he's moving forward. Is he Transcendence or something like that? Does anyone remember his? And again, I wrote it on the back of a piece of paper there, and then
yes, it's Jonathan Holt, and I forget the name of the organization, but we know him well and can put you in contact with him if necessary.
Okay, so that's number one. I have progress on that, and hope want to upload that in a way to share. Is a Google Sheet acceptable, or if I'm going to be in the Git, then I'm not sure how to make a new page for this? And also, what action is it connected to in the community? I don't see the action there.
They're really good questions.
if you can make an action, list commercial involvement with DID spec or a list of commercial entities being involved, then I can just post my progress into that action, correct? And then that would be a way to make it available. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I'm hearing, Manu, you have a different question.
Yep.
Was Lionel. So my first thought was, oh, maybe that's a work item, not an action item. And the chairs acknowledge there's some confusion between those two. But I'm looking at the work item list, and it's not popping out at me either. So I'm not sure what the genesis of the task was to help guide you into the right way to do it.
Well, you don't have to get stuck on those details. It certainly would be a useful list. It was requested a few meetings ago, and trying to deliver on it, we should just figure out what's the best way how.
Sure. So I would suggest go ahead and start with a Google spreadsheet, and if we figure out how we weave that into other documents or work, we can always do that once the information is compiled.
Terrific. And then the second action is the paper that we've been working on for some time. So I did meet with Jan. He was critical because his work is in there, and he suggested some changes. Once I make those changes, then I have one more reader who stepped up and volunteered, and then we'll be closing it. So I guess I just need another week or two on that, and those are the actions that I have.
Excellent. Thank you, Lionel. Okay. Manu, then, I think you're on the queue.
Yeah, so it's mostly questions on the action items. So I'm guessing that at least W3C TPAC being on the agenda is taken care of, as in we have time allocated now that I saw. And then so we could probably strike that off of the action item list. The other thing has to do with, like, preparing for the DID work with TPAC, and I'm stalling out on that, unfortunately, but hope to pick it back up soon. And then there's, I think, the next kind of really pressing thing is figuring out what we're going to do at rebooting, specifically around potential, W3C involvement and that kind of thing. So. Just a ping to the chairs that we probably should get together and figure out exactly how we're going to run that week at rebooting. I know it's not specifically CCG related, but we've got like all these kind of work streams crisscrossing at our rebooting and at TPAC. So just wanted to make sure we got some time to talk about all that stuff.
Okay. And just to make sure I'm hearing you right, you're in the chairs and you get together, not that we make it an item in one of these calls.
That's correct, yeah, because some of this stuff is like sensitive because certain organizations don't want to be associated until we're very sure about what we're doing, and then they really want to be associated.
Right. Okay. Do you want to is there a need to do that before the Friday call, or do you want to
Friday call would be
chairs
fine.
Call on Friday.
Chairs call on Friday would be fine.
Okay, that sounds good. And Kim or Chris, if that doesn't work for you guys, let's reschedule offline. But we can take that next menu and move on. Thanks, Manu. Okay, so that was action items and work items are next in the agenda. I realize it's sometimes not clear which are which. We already get Lionel's update on the data minimization paper. Any other work item stuff that where folks have an update? I guess. Andrew, you're on the queue then.
Sorry, that dropped out. Did you say Manu or Andrew?
Andrew.
Okay, there we are. I'll be starting work on converting the DID primer into, I think, respec format. If someone could spell that out for me, that'd be great. I'm meeting some of the BC government folks. I'm not sure if they're on the call today. See John there maybe tomorrow. And we're going to start doing that reformatting. If there's a pointer to the W3C page on the format, that'd be most helpful, so I don't have to Google it. And that's my update. Now, I don't see that in the action items or work items, so not sure if that's embedded in something else. But it was one of the requirements to go to WG.
Right. Yeah. So we should add it as a work item. So let me make a note to the chairs. I think a few of our DID transition items did not make it onto our repo where we keep track of that. And so we need to create a repo for you and then somehow get you the knowledge in order to create the respec, right?
Yeah. So is that on the didn't list then?
But I'll bump.
Yeah.
It's on the diddly list. Okay, we do have folks on the queue, and I think some of those might be able to help you with some of these questions. So Manu, you're up.
Yeah, so there's there has been this action item to do spec training for a while now, and this sounds like an opportunity. So maybe what we can do is, Andrew, if you can pick a time that works for you this week, preferably in the afternoon, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, last 3 days of this week, we can go through that whole process. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Time zone on those times?
I'm sorry, Eastern, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday and Thursday, preferably. We can go through some spec training. So for those, any of you on the call that are interested in learning about how the environments are set up and that kind of stuff, we're just going to basically take Andrew through the whole process. And then, you know, ask questions on the call. Hopefully we'll do, you know, all that stuff live. So by the end of the call, he will have a specification that he can work off of. Does that seem like, one, would that be helpful, Andrew? And two, would that, chairs, would that address the spec training thing? Yes, including the initial bootstrap weirdness, Christopher.
Yeah,
that would be helpful. 1:30 Eastern Wednesday would be perfect.
Checking. Okay,
yeah.
We can do that.
Okay. I can't make that time, but if at least one of the other chairs can, that would.
Could also record it.
Yep.
I don't mind having my dumb questions on a recording.
Yeah, and maybe what we can do is do a Zoom recording, so you capture video and everything. And we'll, you know, you'll share your screen, and then we'll kind of go through it. So we'll have audio and video.
That'd be a great resource.
Okay. We'll do that.
Okay. Chris, you are up.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people understood that we're more and more moving over to using the action items in the community repo. So if you've got something on a work item or on something else, you know, feel free to use the action items. We're using tags and stuff to know whether or not we're going to bring it up during a meeting. But you know, right now where we have things kind of split between work items and action items and announcements and all of that, and there seems to be a bit of confusion as to what's what, I think we're kind of leaning toward moving toward using the community repos issues for that. That's it.
Thanks, Chris. So there are a number of ways you can get there, but that's the issues page for the community. And you can see some of them are just marked as action items. So if you have an action item or you want to create one, you can just add an issue, tag it action item. And that's the resource Chris was just talking about. Okay, and then Adrian would like to add an item for the discussion. Would you like to unpack that for us, Adrian? Adrian, you might be on mute.
He hung up.
So he's going to dial back in.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
That's all right. Come back.
I'm involved in a number of threads related to how people access RESTful APIs, including things that are in the government space, like Medicare health records. And the issue that's been going on forever, like 2 years, but it's starting to come to a head for various reasons, is dynamic client registration, which in effect is the interface between self-sovereign identity and self-sovereign technology, in that is the authority to register an app or a client based on the credentials of the person that is registering the app, or is it based on the credentials of the app itself? So that's the very short version of what's going on here. But I do think we're going to have to take this up in some form or another, because it's like a major big deal.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, the way to understand this is, if everything we're doing is an alternative to Federation, everything we're doing in the self-sovereign identity space is an alternative to Federation, insisting that there be certifying organizations that certify an app that can be used to connect is in effect forcing Federation upon the world.
Right. So that's an interesting quandary. So the table for the chairs to find some time to talk about. Certainly you can bring that to the email list. We might be able to engage it there. Let's see if folks have comments on it before we move on to the rest of the topics. So Manu?
Yeah, just a quick note to Adrian. So I agree that, you know, this is an important topic, and even the verifiable credentials working group, or the verifiable claims working group at W3C, is supposed to provide some kind of insight into how verifiable credentials and OAuth2 and OpenID Connect and all those things fit together. And we also have work streams on the object capabilities stuff and access control, HTTP signatures. I mean, they're like, I think there are like six separate work streams that kind of potentially touch one another in the space. So yes, plus one to figuring out strategy around how to get all of these things to play nicely with one another.
Thanks, Manu.
It sounded to me like Adrian was talking about the political last mile interface to actually using DIDs in important things in our lives, like an app store. Adrian, would you say that's the general theme of what you were saying?
Well, it's definitely the last mile. I'm not sure that it's political, except to the extent that, you know, we want to consider the difference between federated ID and self-sovereign ID to be political, which it sort of is. I'm not sure that I've answered your question.
Okay, that word might not help the question. I guess the question is, another way to ask the question would be, what does Apple need a DID to prove in order for Apple to feel like their app store is a secure place for people to download apps?
Well, it's not Apple that I'm worried about. I'm worried about Medicare. I'm worried about the VA. I'm worried about hospital sites where the individual has a right of access to the information. This also applies to GDPR situations, where you as an individual have a right of access to the information, and an RESTful API protected by OAuth is provided in order to meet this right of access. And if you want to exercise that right of access, like I say, under GDPR or Payment Services Directive 2, for example, and have and grant access directly to Bob, directly to a third party, so that you are in control of that right of access, but you want the Bob's client to be connected directly so that the information doesn't lose authenticity, then there has to be a way to dynamically register Bob's client. And Bob's client shouldn't need to be approved because by anybody, by any particular federation or certifying authority, because you have the authority under the right of access to basically connect anybody.
Ah, I see. Yeah, that's very different. Thank you.
Cool. Adrian, I think that's a great topic. I want to wrap up on it here, but maybe in a future call we can dive into it. And certainly by email we may have some more bandwidth to set up on the apps have certification problem and a re-centralization or the potential re-centralization through that mechanism. Okay. Check in the queue. Nobody? Okay, so we're going to move on then. So next up is Kim with an update on the Educational Task Force.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And I'm going to sort of talk about the Educational Task Force, but then also segue into sort of a more general sort of statement comment on task forces, which will lead into Joe's next agenda item. So for the Education Task Force, how we're doing right now is, so we've made progress on essentially two papers. One is the alignment between open badges and verifiable credentials. So that one's in a really good state. We're, prototyping now. We're also working, we also have a paper in progress, decent status of peer claims in educational space, in education occupational space. Sorry, one second, I'm going to mute. My IRC keeps alerting me because my name is mentioned, and then I keep thinking I need to look. So sorry, I keep getting distracted. okay, so
we were originally meeting every other week on Thursdays. I met with the other people leading with me, that's Nate and Carrie, and we decided to switch to async mode, or basically offline collaboration, and then meeting on demand when we need it. I wanted to explain why. So when we started the task force, the idea was, well, we have these specific sort of technical goals we want to achieve, you know, around schema alignment, for example, prototyping. But then there's all these other questions we wanted to answer around use cases and things like that. So we thought, great, let's start a task force, you know, to solve all of this stuff. So I think where we I'm turning this sort of into a postmortem. I think where we went wrong is we didn't have a single leader. You know, we established three sort of co-chair type things, which I think made things a little bit fuzzy. And ultimately, I felt like it was really hard for us to get sort of ongoing traction because, like, say, Nate and I are very into sort of the schema alignment stuff, but we maybe have less dry or less, you know, sort of knowledge around how to push forward the use case parts. And so ultimately, it felt like the overhead of running that was sort of outweighing the benefits of actually just doing stuff and sort of waiting for, you know, the sort of use case parts to arise more organically. So in any case, we're still making progress. I wanted to make sure that, one, that everyone knows that we have switched to sort of more offline coordination. And I think, Joe, is this a good time to sort of segue into your next topic? Or
I think that's good.
Okay.
If there were folks on the queue who wanted to engage.
Okay. Yes.
Looks like Chris did want to say something, and then we can segue in. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, we're still trying to work out this you know, task force concept. So the idea is that they are working, they are officially approved by the community. We have the ability, you know, people that are interested in driving something forward, but they do not have a specific, say, work item, a document that they're working on yet, but they're going to propose a number of them over a period of time. And I think the educational task force is an excellent example of that. So, you know, they would meet, have various discussions, and then as things emerge, to be ready to kind of propose as a work item for the whole community, they would do so. I think that's a good model. We're still figuring out how to do that. But it's clear for those people that are kind of new to the community group, you know, what a task force is, you know, what they do. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. Kim, you want to segue then into the next item?
Yeah, and actually, I'm trying. Let me pull up the agenda one second, because let's see. Oh, oops. For some reason, I'm looking at an old agenda. Here we go. Okay, so the next part we wanted to talk about was basically the idea of what's going on with user stories. So over the last few calls, I think we've noticed there is maybe some fuzziness around, you know, when we talk about use cases versus, you know, user stories. And, you know, so for use cases, and I'll let Joe talk to this more, but at a high level, the idea is we have a very concrete need right now to get use cases for the DID working group. And that's a very specific thing that is, you know, maybe a very fine subset of the broader user stories. So one of the things that I think we identified is maybe people thought we're trying to, you know, those are one and the same, but they're not. And so I think where we're leaning is that it would make sense to have a task force focus on user stories. And the primary reason is that, it's a little bit amorphous right now. We need input from the people who can contribute user stories to help us figure out how to turn them into work items that the community group can take on. So in my recommendation, just given, my experience from the Education Occupational Task Force, would be that there be a single leader, sort of running it, making those sort of core decisions to keep it going. Make the decision early if you want to have regular meetings or if you want to coordinate offline. Just make sure that you have time for it. I think that something like this, it's very critical. Just don't overcommit. Focus on very concrete deliverables. And I think that might be a good model to use for the user stories. For people who might be able to lead that, some people that come up, well, Heather is the main person who sort of stands out as a good candidate. But we're curious to follow up on this to see what people think about the formation of a task force and the dynamics of it. And I'll turn over to you, Joe, to give more context or color.
Sure. I think you did a great job. I think part of the distinction, we had this notion of stories that we put a page on our community website. And there, even within the chairs, there's some confusion about, is that a work item? How does that move forward? We definitely want to embrace the voices of folks who are suggesting stories as a way to corral understanding and enthusiasm for what we're doing. And I think that seemed to get confused with local use case work, which is the next item on the agenda. So hopefully this approach and creating a task force might be a good way to tackle that topic. So I thought Heather was next, but she popped herself off the queue. So I guess we'll go to Marcus.
So I think on last week's call, which I missed unfortunately, or called before, I'm not sure, but there was some discussion on data resolution and having a separate spec about that. There's an issue also on the community repository to discuss that. And I've had a few calls with Dimitri Zagdulin. I'm not sure if he's online today. And we're both interested in working on that. We created a sort of a skeleton spec document and a new repository on the CCG GitHub organization. And on one hand, we don't know how to write specs, so if there is a tutorial or introduction to spec writing this week, then this would be interesting. But we're also interested in advice how to do that. I wonder if this model of a task force that you were just describing, if that could also be a suitable approach for working on a data resolution spec.
Yeah, that is a great question. Okay. Manu, you're on the queue.
Sure. Just to also suggest that I know Jeff and Denise and Samantha might also be very interested in the user stories thing. So Heather, I'm sure, I mean, you were CC'd on the email with everyone, so I'm sure you know to pull those folks in. But yeah, I mean, plus one. So plus one to creating a very clear separation between the user stories work, which is ongoing and will continue to, progress, and the use cases work, the focal use cases work, which is very, very focused with a deliverable, over the summer. So yeah, I think that was one of the things that the group was missing. Is understanding that those two things are very separate but complementary to one another.
Okay, thanks, Anu. Heather, you're up.
Yeah, thanks. I don't have a clear understanding of how these user stories and the use cases relate to each other and influence each other. And I want to primarily influence the use cases, because those are going to ultimately go into the spec.
So, can I jump in? I'm trying to get to my IRC.
Is that Chris? Yeah, and then Manu's on the queue after. Or he was there before you.
So, I think the thing is, these use cases may not go into the spec. The use cases are only about what is necessary to get the W3C people to say, yes, you can have a working group, and sort of politically set it up such in a fashion such that we are able to have the broader discussions once the working group is formed. So it is we have to be very careful about what we do, how we present it, stop any sort of political attacks on what we're doing. And then once the working group is formed, then we can dive a lot deeper into trying to have the breadth of, use cases and user stories, et cetera, that we'd like to have to fully inform the spec. But we've got a weird catch-22 here, which is if we put a bunch of things that we want in the user stories, use cases, it may actually make it such that we can't even form the working group. So we're sort of separating that task. Any user stories that are created by the community group will likely be passed on to the working group later to basically say, would you consider using some of these user stories in how your use cases as the spec evolved? We can't even technically start on the spec as a international standard in progress until we have a working group. So if you were to take charge of the user stories now, you actually are in effect talking about the leadership on the final spec and covering all of the issues and things of that nature. So I think that's the difference. That help you, Heather?
Sorry,
Heather, go ahead. I'm saying go in front of me in the queue.
Oh, okay, sorry. I guess I feel like W3C doesn't value the user stories. This community says they do value the user stories. So the W3C is going to value the use cases, which to me is a question of credit, influence, and effort. That's my math equation. And I think the user stories are important, and I want to think they're going to influence the use cases, but I don't want to assume that. And I would feel more comfortable because there's a lot of stuff that's not defined here that I think could be defined more, not just for me. And part of that is like process, definition of what it is, have a good example of it. There were some great examples made in a previous thing. And stuff like that. I don't want to do a bunch of work on user stories and have the use cases take all the glory. because in this community is extremely technical, and the glory goes to the technology, and less glory goes to human-centric aspects, like, to be frank.
Okay, thanks, Heather.
So let me jump in. I was trying to schedule a call with Heather to kind of go over the entire process. So, you know, I think, Heather, you're very skeptical about the process right now, which is totally understandable, and I think there are other people in the group that are super skeptical about the process. Fundamentally, there is no thing as the W3C. It's us. The people in this group are going to champion these documents through the entire process. So the same people that you're talking to today that are working on the use cases and the user stories are going to be the same people that end up in the working group that push it forward. There's no such thing as like a handoff to a completely different group that is quote unquote the W3C. So you're on this call. At some point, this call will become an official call, and there will be Joe and Christopher and Kim and everybody else, you know, in this call that's a W3C member will take the work forward. So there is, I don't think that there's this, there are no clean lines here. And that's partly because the way that this work actually happens is very amorphous, right? There's no clear process. There is a W3C process. There's a community group process. But with this many people involved, there is no clear, this is the way that things happen. So I think, you know, what's missing here is an understanding of the process that we're going to try and execute on. And I think that achieves what you want. I think the issue here is that there is not a trust that is actually going to be what ends up happening. And so we need to figure out some way to get that trust built in the community, because it's fairly clear to me that there are a number of people on the call that don't trust that that's what's actually going to happen. And are looking for guarantees that are probably going to be fairly impossible for anyone to give. But anyway, that's what I was hoping to kind of set up a call with you, Heather, and talk through in a bit more depth, because it's probably going to take a good hour to kind of talk through all this stuff. But in the interim, you know, in the time that we have left, you know, Joe, it might help to kind of talk through the process for the focal use cases and potentially how things feed into the focal use cases.
Sure, I can do that. Kim, we do have this. Did you jump in and say something?
Yes, just really quickly. And Heather, I'll follow up with you offline, but you made a great point. I think it points to a couple of things around the lack of clarity or you know, awareness that all of us have around, you know, the process involved. But then also you touched on the other issue, which is acknowledgement, which we're following up in different areas. And I think that we had been thinking about the user stories as the, you know, sort of DID use case path, mostly because it allows, you know, more time to get into more nuanced discussions around the use cases. And whereas use cases, as we've been saying, it is very much like, you know, this checkbox or whatever. But, you know, so I think there's that difference. But I agree that, you know, there's not a lot of clarity in that right now. So I'll turn over to Joe to continue on the next part.
Thanks, Kim. And Heather, thanks for raising your concerns. You know, unfortunately, we only got a minute left. But let me segue into the best way you can contribute right now to the use cases is to write one up. So that's the next step in the use case process, which is really the first one. So there's, I'll chat. This is an example focal use case. It will eventually have a few more items added to it as we go through it. But the process is we're going to gather things in this form. You don't have to fill in all the blanks. For example, Moses sent me one that had the background, but it was a very compelling background, and I'm working with him and Dan Greening to fill that out. So submit the use case, and we'll refine it, make it better. eventually that will become a draft document in a repository that we can have further conversations about. And then we'll have issues, we'll resolve those issues, and ultimately that will generate a 1.0. So I think that's the short version of the process that starts with write up the things that are important to you. So Heather, you can mention, I'm also looking at Kim and Manu and Drummond, who's not on the call, but all the companies that have been investing time and money in this, I know you have use cases that you guys care about that you think are important to how DIDS unfold. So we would like to get your input in that format. And that's my short version. Is anyone else on the queue? We're at 10 o'clock, so we'd like to wrap up. I have no need to hang your head in shame unless you have some use cases written up. So. Thank you for your time, everyone.